Well, everywhere.
Corporate on your ass.
No! Oh,
now you can hear yourself too, can't you?
Yes, I can.
Okay, yeah. So this is a shotgun microphone, so you want to kind of like talk directly into it, but
yes,
yeah, just kind of have it out of the way, so like in the shot, like mm-hmm. it's not covering your face. The,
okay,
the yeah. microphone.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we're good.
Okay.
We'll see. Yeah. What's going on, guys? Today we have Ernesto here searching stuff up, and we have
Jahaj Shabazz. Yes. Kind of nice, unique name.
Yeah, it's a nice name. So I got you on here today. Yes. This is my first time meeting you. My cousin Juan, he introduced me to you. You have your own podcast.
Yes, I do. I've been doing a podcast for about 2 years, and basically it's sending around men's issues. Basically, there's a new platform that's out. Been wandering around for about 4 years, called the Red Pill. Taken from the Matrix, in a sense, it's men empowering themselves and basically being the best versions of themselves.
Uh-huh. And you said, how long has that been out?
About 2 years.
2 years. And yeah. Is that on Apple Podcasts and
yes.
Spotify?
Yes, it is. Yes, okay. Absolutely. It's I had changed my name. In a sense that right now it's under. If I give free promo here, and that's Baz, Lord of the Sith. It's on Spotify. Usually on Facebook, I usually give a shout out to myself for people to go check that out, and just basically just have a general overview of men's issues, and like I said, how they can empower themselves and be a better version of themselves. Yes.
What made you come up with that podcast name?
Life.
Life?
Yeah, basically life, experience. Better later than never. I had a journey like some people. Basically, I wanted to, in a sense, become a better version of what I am. I guess that's basically the human condition. But more so, being a man, I didn't feel like I, you know, really had enough of my mojo. So on my journey, you know, I came upon red pill issues,
uh-huh.
as dealing with relationships and, you know, financial stability, all those things. I, you know, I'm still learning in the process, but I came upon those things, and then I'd start to do a podcast about it. Now, I've done these type of things before at Indiana State University, where I went to school, and I was part of the debate club, and I did a lot of community forums and things of that nature downtown. So it's not my first rodeo, but knowledge is power. I didn't feel like I had the you know, the same knowledge base as I do as of right now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that's the reason why I garnered, and with technology, having your own podcast, I thought I'd give a little run at it.
Mm-hmm. So on we'll get into it. Like on some of your podcasts, what are the main topics going on in those?
Basically, on the podcast, for the most part, just helping men to understand, you know, it's going to be a hot topic here, female nature in a sense, because most of us are valued about how we view our relationships with others, basically women. And in a sense that I wanted to find out what makes us tick, where did I go wrong, the pros and cons. And I come to find out that men really don't have a voice,
yeah,
in a sense. Yeah. You know, it's mostly the airways now in this type of culture that most of our voices and our feelings are kind of trumped by what we bring to the table financially.
Mm-hmm.
So the other part that we don't get as far as how we view relationships, how we're valued, how we think of ourselves is giving us a voice is basically what I wanted to talk about. There are some surreal and not so nice truths that you have to come to understand about being a man. Yeah. There's no niceties about it, you know, and things of that nature. So you have to understand that we can value ourselves more than how the opposite sex views us, in a sense. So we have to view ourselves, or basically the term is being on our purpose. That's the big general term. Being on our purpose is that you value yourself first, and then everything else fall in line. And that's with the good relationships. So, but go ahead.
So like,
yeah,
getting into that, since you're that's mostly what you talk about on your podcast. Yes. Did you personally go through something like that?
Yeah, I don't think any man does it. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
You know, most of us are silent about it because we're being ostracized by society that what you feel and think is not valued upon how you feel and think, as much as the media try to portray, but what you bring to the table. Because believe it or not, we as men, we have to have value.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not born with value. Women are born with value. If they're hot, you know, they get basically anything on the table. Men, we have to come with something.
Yeah.
You know, we have to come to with some type of skill set, whether that be status, power, or the both of those things. So basically, that's what I try to center on. Hey, you can get these things if you value yourself. First, you have to be awake. Because even, you know, in the Matrix movie, you had the red pill and the blue pill. The blue pill, hey, you can keep living your dreams, you know, the way they are. And the red pill is, hey, it's going to be a little bit rough, but at least you have the truth.
Yeah.
So the truth is that men, we can empower ourselves first, starting with first, and then everything else comes in line. And that's harder said than done.
Yeah.
It's easy for me to say that, those type of things, you know what I mean? But yes, it was a harsh journey that I had to face, is why I came up to this. My relationships haven't been, you know, putting it out there that the way I wanted it to be, and I wanted to know why.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get some of the answers, not all of them, but I'm starting to get some of the answers, because with the information age and the information has proliferated, excuse me, a lot in society, I got a late start. So better late than never.
Yeah.
You know? So it was that type of thing. So it was a rough road, and I don't think any man, in this world doesn't go through that, where they kind of wonder, because, you know, we all know life is rough. Life is a learning process, and sometimes there's untold truths, trials and errors, and most of that comes with how people view us in relationships between women. So, I had that struggle too. Most of us do.
Yeah, we all got to go through that learning experience.
Oh yeah, we got to go through that learning experience, and it's always not an easy ride. It's a rough in certain spots.
Yeah, some people have it worse than others.
But it's rough enough for me and other people to. In this day and age, we have so much information today that you can at least get the grasp, understand why that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The internet helps out a lot.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And what I emphasize most on the podcast is the purpose. You know, that's a lot out on the internet, as far as a man's purpose. His purpose is valued by what he likes and what he likes to do, and focus on that. Because like I said, we have to be. We are not born with value. We have to be something.
You have to make yourself something.
Oh, yeah. You have to make yourself something, man.
But that's just the way society looks at men, right?
Yes. That's the way society looks at men, but that's society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have to have a voice and dictate, just like women dictate how they view things. You know, they have a whole laundry list of things that they want in a guy. You know, it has to be 6 foot, has to have 6-pack abs, has to make at least 100,000, you know what
they
I mean?
They want a prince, they want a perfect.
Yeah, they want a knight in shining armor. That's okay. Yeah. I mean, we could play the cards too, but, you know, we have to have a say in that we somebody that's, you know, nice, gentle, submissive. Uh-oh, that misogynist word, submissive. I'm not talking about somebody in, you know, a maid's clothes and sweeping up the room and say, hey, you have to do this. You know, being submissive, nice, and brings peace when you're out there, you know, grinding in the world. So that's one of the things that we will, because our laundry list besides sex, okay, let's put that out there too, is not that long.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not that hard to figure us out. But it's hard to figure out because we don't like to talk about it, because you get ostracized, whether it be at work, family members, and things of that nature. So You know, it's about time that we have a voice and get our little small list of things that are out. So, yeah.
You said we get ostracized?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not really familiar with that word. Oh, okay. Can you explain it to me?
Yeah.
Is that like judged, getting judged, basically?
Yeah, being ostracized and being picked out of the crowd and labeled that, hey, he's different. Uh-huh. He doesn't think like the norm and things of that nature because what we're doing in what I try to do in my podcast is bring awareness that relationships is just like Game of Thrones. There's a struggle. There's a power play at play. Men and women are not equal. That's another truth that's put out there. We're not equal. Yeah. So you're ostracized in a sense. You're taken out of the norm and say, hey, don't get with that guy. Don't talk to him because he causes a lot of trouble. Because believe it or not, if we were to say the things we actually wanted to say about, you know, don't go on expensive dates, you know, you vet your women before you marry them, things like that, we know society wouldn't last very long.
Yeah.
You know, it'll come to a collapse within a matter of a week. So these are truths that, you know, society doesn't basically want you to get out in the world. So, yeah, you're basically going to be ostracized in the sense that you'll be an outcast if you say these type of things. Now, it's gaining steam. There's a lot of people out here in this space that are talking more about it. So, and the reality is there's some unfriendly truths that have to be put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as us men being judged, that's something that we have to deal with, which females have to deal with that too. So which kind of ways do females get judged in?
There's no judgment at all. Put it that way. There's no judgment at all. If you're hot and you have men blowing up your DMs and things like that, I mean, there's not much to that. Men, yeah, we get judged all the time because of our part to play in society, because we have to, like I said, we have to do so much as far as be. Women... like I said, if you're hot, and even nowadays, you know, on the podcast, I call them 49ers. That's not talking about the San Francisco 49ers. I'm talking about fours that think they're nines nowadays. Yeah. we got those running around thinking that their stuff doesn't stink, too. So, the judgment between the two sexes are definitely different. We know we have to be judged by a big stick. We know rejection is part of our repertoire as men. Mm-hmm. So we're okay with that. We know the world is not very kind.
Yeah.
Okay. We know that if we don't fail to be something, we're basically a loser. We give all ourselves these negative connotations. If a woman is basically hot and things of that nature, you know, the world is given to her until there's a certain time period. And I go over a little bit this on the podcast. When they're in their early 20s, right, the world is given to them as an oyster, especially if they're decent looking and hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's off the table. You know, those blue checks on Instagram look very good. You know what I mean? And then by the time they get 30 and they're stop riding the cock carousel, if I could put it that way. Yeah. Once they get 30, then it's time to settle down and find somebody to settle down with, not so much with I don't know if I can say this, the F boy, the F boy they wanted to be with.
You can say whatever you want.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Basically the fuck boys,
yeah,
that won't settle down with them. So they try to find somebody that will provide for them into their later years. And then again, I have a look at when they reach their 40s. Can they get better than the guy they chose to have a long-term relationship with at 40? So there's 30 and there's 40 where there's a judgment call on how we're judged on if they want to stay with us or not. These are unkind truths that we have to come to face.
So the fuckboy stages is what, in their 20s, you're saying?
Early 20s. Yeah. Now, that's not set in stone.
But I feel like that's kind of because, like, you know, they don't have enough experience with guys, like, just with life,
right.
so they don't really know, you know, enough to be like knowledgeable in that subject, but
right.
But it's, I guess over time, yeah, they learn. But then it's too late. Like I heard you were saying, once they realize that that's not the kind of guy that they want,
right?
Then they try to come back to us, and it's
right.
It's like, damn, now we got to deal with what they ruined for you. We got to try to fix it.
Oh, yes. And that's a terrible truth that you just mentioned, Tony, is that having to deal with the baggage that somebody else messed up before you, based on, because let's face it, you know, accountability is something that is strange to most women.
Yeah.
You know, when they sit around and ride the cock carousel, in a sense, the hot ones and things like that. It's everybody's fault but theirs. But then the guy that actually that tries to wife them up, he has to carry the burden, the baggage, and worst of all, sometimes the kid's out of the deal.
Yeah.
So
they got to deal with all their trauma.
all their trauma, man. That's all the trauma. And to be quite frank with you, that's what kickstarted my journey. Just going through things of that nature. So we try to, I think, on the podcast and in space and things like that, try to give men untold truths of what to expect. That if you're going to vet with women, there are stages that you're being judged upon. Is never ending. So if you happen to be so-called one of the fuck boys, I mean, you know, who in a sense, that's a bad term. Who wouldn't want to be a fuck boy?
Yeah.
You know, you're the one that's laying the pipe, right?
Yeah.
And other guys taking the girl out to dinner and dates and things like that. That's a perfect job.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't mind that job myself. Hey, did he take you out?
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, did he take you out? Oh, did you? Okay. All right, did he take you to a nice restaurant? Okay, all right. Now you can drop the panties. All right, I'm good with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those untold truths.
Yeah, it's the truth.
And it's happened to a lot of us more than we think.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we tried to do. Tried to make it fun, but also try to make it serious about the differences between men and women, because let's face it, there's not equality. Now, we all believe in equality in the First Amendment, us having the same inalienable rights, endowed by our Creator and things like that, but our roles are definitely different. For example, I tried to emphasize, too, since we are living in the age of social media, that it's easy for women to go out there and just have one eyeball and have leather skin and say, go to a bar and say, hey, would anybody like to have sex?
Yeah.
It's an easy call. Somebody would. For us, for you guys, you come in the club with an Armani suit decked down, your boys give you all the props and things of that nature. If there are not two or three women trying to say, hey, man, he looks hot, I think I know who he is, you will get no play. No play whatsoever. And we're okay with that. Some people are not. Some men aren't. But we have to be okay with that because that's the judgment call that we have. So, you know, I know some guys that are waiting around and say, oh, that girl, she didn't like me till high school. But wait till she becomes an old hag and things of that nature. I'll have my fun and show her how, you know, basically I become, you know, something.
Uh-huh.
Because we all know that it's fair advantage to most women that, you know, as they age, they lose their value over time.
Yeah.
You know, that's with anything, basically. So I try to emphasize on my podcast, as we get older, we keep our value. We have our value in a sense that
the men keep their value.
Men keep their value as we get older. As far as financial stability, finding out what we want, a lot of the mistakes we made, because, you know, we talk to each other all the time. We said, man, that was a bad choice. That was a bad choice that I have been with that girl. It was a really toxic relationship. I'm glad you said something to me about it. Where most of the girls like, you go ahead, girl. You do your thing. He's not getting you what you want. You know, Pookie and Ray over there can definitely get you what you want. It's only going to be for a time being. And then after that, you can get Ryan there to take you out and put a ring on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no accountability whatsoever. So I try to get those untold truths definitely out there as much as possible.
Yeah, I've been in a couple relationships that are pretty bad, like pretty toxic, and
right.
As much as I didn't like them, like the relationship itself,
yes.
I definitely learned a lot from them, and it helped me turn into a better person. It helped me realize who I am too.
Right.
So I grew as a person.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and the most dangerous thing for me in those situations, because You know, I had some fallbacks. You know, I got this. You know, I'm a red pill giant, man. I know what I want in a woman and things like that. If she's hot enough, you don't see the red flags as much as you do with a girl that you decide to say, well, she looks all right, but I need something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You don't see the red flags as much. You let her get away with a lot of stuff, and that's where the danger comes in. I try to emphasize that the 4s, 5s, and 6s are just as dangerous as the 9s or 10s. The 9s or 10s just hot enough where you don't see the red flags
yeah.
as much. You know what uh-huh. I mean? Unless you're Drake in Future, where you don't see any red flags. yes. Or what's the other Bad Bunny? You know, they don't deal with any red flags. Yeah. Hey, you coming with me or not? If not, okay, I'll swipe right.
On to the next.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, on to the next one. Yes, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've all been in toxic relationships, and then that's where we try to understand what the learning curve is. And for most of us as guys, the learning curve is that basically we have to work on self. And with if you're on your purpose, because men gain value as we age, then those things will come. Now, is it easy? Absolutely not. Because God gave us one thing that's a kicker that destroys us all, and that's a sex drive.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're trying to reroute that sex drive into just plain old drive where we find our purpose. And it's a fail safe. It's a fail safe. It's a fail safe in the sense that, you know, you don't want to be succumb to your biology all the time, because, like you said, we learn based upon our relationships, but we really don't want to learn based on our relationships.
Yeah.
Oh, we want
it sucks.
It sucks. Oh, and there's a catching feelings. There's she talks bad about you. There's a whole litany of things
comes with a lot.
Yeah, comes with a lot. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, like I said, when we talk about these things, if we talk about it more, I mean, there's some untold truths that I try to get out on the podcast, too. For example, when you are vetting a lady and things of that nature, you better understand this day and age that when I grew up in the late 80s, not that I'm calling myself older and things of that nature, when I went to high school, we knew that most of the virgins were basically the girls.
Uh-huh.
And he had the guys that are basically, if you didn't get the poo nanny by the time you're 16, you look at it as a dud. Things have reversed, man. Yeah. There are more guy virgins than there are female virgins.
I believe
right?
it.
Yeah, you can go look this up. I don't have the stats in front of me, but, you know, with
see
Google.
See if you can find something up about that.
Right. You have to get it in your head that when you've had a woman, if you choose to have relationships, and relationships can be healthy if you know what to look for, you might as well get it out of your head if you're going to think you're going to find somebody that's a unicorn. And you have to come to that. I'm just throwing a number out there, that that cold truth that there might be 3 or 4 other guys who are waiting to take your turn at any time. Because there's a recent study that said that most women, at least more than half, if there's anything that goes wrong in a relationship, whether it be boyfriend or husband, they already have a contingency plan, a guy waiting in the wing already.
Second option.
Yeah, second option already.
Plan B.
Yeah, plan B. We're not talking about the birth control either. You know, we're talking about plan B. So these are the things you have to look out for. Now I'm starting to, I work a 9-to-5 job, a blue-collar job. I'm trying to find that aspect where I can balance my life, because we can talk about relationships and toxicity and all of that good stuff all day. And there's some meat for us to play with. But our financial side is where, if we're going to be financially, that's where we need to stay. Mm-hmm. And everything else will come into place. Why do I say that? And I even use this for myself, because I fail in this sometimes too. You don't do it just for money's sake.
Yeah.
You try to be something, at least financially, because you don't have to put up with the shit test that comes with relationships. You know what I mean? If you're a person that's stuck in a job or don't find your purpose or things of that nature, what's the worst thing you can do? Well, I got to be with her, man, you know. I don't want to go through any type of divorce or anything like that, you know. We got kids together and things of that nature. When you become, you dictate you know, the process in a sense. Hey, okay, if you don't want to follow my program or come to some agreement, that's fine. And that's the most empowering thing as men that we have in our arsenal is learning to walk away and walk away with dignity. Mm-hmm. That's the most powerful thing that you can do. Because believe it or not, I know if you guys heard about this before, women are the gatekeepers of sex, but we're the gatekeepers of relationships. We're the ones that determine relationships. But, you know, that mammalian brain that we have, it fails us every time. It fails us every time. So I wanted to get more, as I try to go on this red pill journey, more of the financial part, because the financial part is important, not because you want to say, hey, I got more money than you, I got more paper than you. It's because if you choose to go in relationships, you know that you can turn it on and off based on your purpose and your how you dictate things. So.
I mean, but you also got to say that, like, the financial prospects, as they grow as a man, then your options grow. Like, as you continue growing, then that's when more women come through.
Excellent point. Because something that Dr. Phil will definitely not tell you is that basically that women find men more attractive if they have more options, in a sense, because you watch Star Trek, they have that Borg mind mentality, the hive mind mentality, in a sense that they try to tell you, well, you know, girl, I don't know about him. He's kind of a hoe and these things and that. Yeah, they'll say that in public. But if a guy is known as a player, a good-looking guy, and other girls co-sign on him, he becomes automatically attractive. That's one of those things that, you know, you say one thing and in actuality when it plays out, it's in reverse. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think women definitely like men that have had more partners, and it's the exact opposite for men. There's like, it's like a real big shift is like men really don't like girls that have been tossed around. They don't like them after, like, when they're 30 and they've been on the cocktail. They like them, like, recent. And I think that's something that I like is that or that's something that I've noticed is that a lot of men actually like younger women. A lot of women like older men. But as they grow up, their prospects dwindle. Women.
And, you know, let's be upfront with that. We'll take anything basically that's halfway decent. But the most important thing women want out of anything, and for example, let me give you a great example. I had this example actually today, is that when you're dealing with a woman, you can even have the agreement as, okay, we're going to be together, but we're only going to make this a friends with benefits type of situation, okay? Mm-hmm. We're clear? You're clear? Okay, everything's good. Believe you me, 9 times out of 10, she's going to have it in her mind like, okay, just wait. The 12th time we get together and we do the nasty, oh, yeah, we're going to be about something. Oh, definitely. Yeah. We're definitely going to be about something. So,
but that's not what's going on in the guy's head.
Not going in the guy's head. He's like, well, if he catches on, he's like, oh, I think I got one more in the hole before she asks me, what are we?
I heard, like, so the girls that do choose the fuck boys, what do you think is the reason why they first go for that? Like, because they stick with them for a while, but what do you think is going through their head? Like, what's the reason for that?
You know, I took one of those anthropology classes back in Indiana State. I took it for reasons of interest, but as we dive into men's issues and the red pill, there's a deep-seated history in human history why that is. Because in the gathering and hunting societies, it's basically the format of how men and women interact with each other. The men who were considered the better warriors, the most violent, the most aggressive, the most women were the ones that took care of the village in time of peril, because not everything in the hunting and gathering society was plentiful. There are saber-toothed tigers. There was a couple of ice ages, you know, and there's, you know, those type of things came in, came to play. And in a sense, those strong men were the ones that basically took care of those crises when they came up. Now, it's been ingrained in our brain and things of that nature into today where, you know, to me sometimes, you know, it's really kind of a thing where the fuck boys and the alpha males are kind of crisscross each other from time to time.
Yeah.
But, that's basically why I mean, to think through this for them. If you, unless you take an anthropology class, it makes sense, because the fuck boys are what do they have that's the most intriguing. I just learned this in more in depth today. They have a sense of mystery and suspense about them, right?
Yeah.
You don't know too much about this person. He doesn't give out too much information. The only thing that he provides for is the D.
Yeah.
You know, there's the one thing I was listening to called, you know, the girls are getting to this thing called dick appointments now.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically for the fuck boys. So the reason why they stick with the fuck boys in a sense, and more so a little age related too, in their 20s when they're, you know, a little bit have more youth and their ovulation is going through the roof preparing for childbirth. They stick with these guys because they seem to be more mysterious, more suspenseful.
And girls like that, right?
They love that back in their youth. You know, that's why 50 Shades of Grey did so well amongst most women, because it showed the side that the guy was actually had money, had status, but in time, you know, he was able to what they call dominate in a sense. So
there's a couple of females that I know that are probably about 3-4 of them that are talking to the same guy. And what's crazy to me is that they know. So to me, I feel like that women like being in competition with each other. Like,
yes.
They want to play like survival of the fittest or something,
right,
when it comes to a certain guy. And it, I don't know why they choose to, but that's just how they are.
Wow, only 4?
I'm sure there's more. I'm sure there's more.
That's a conservative number nowadays.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Women are okay, not all, so I have to put this out there. Yeah, I'm saying most women, more than 50%. If it's not you, don't boohoo is what I used to say about that issue. But women who love to share a guy is basically they've co-signed with that guy as being, you know, a fuck boy or an alpha male. They're willing to share that particular person.
Uh-huh.
Because believe it or not, and like we're getting to this red pill space, there's the 80-20 rule. I think it's 90-10 post-COVID now, but it's the 80-20 rule where 20% of the guys are getting with 80% of the women, you know, things of that nature. So if it's left up to their devices, they would choose to be with a guy and willing to share them and things of that nature. With me, Jihad Shabazz, is like, oh, you better not step out on me because you're the best. I'm the best thing you've ever had.
I've heard that before.
Oh, yeah. We definitely heard those things. So it's not surprising, Tony, that some of these girls would be able to share one guy, because in a sense they've co-signed him as being one of those dominant males. Now, he may have a drop-off once they get older and say, well, the heck with this. You know, I probably got kids to raise from this guy. We need to find somebody that is going to help us as we get older, because we see on the dating apps and things like that, the cutoff point when these girls are really going after is 29 and 30.
Uh-huh.
Right on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ready to settle down. But that's funny. I know no bad intentions on your part. 4 is a conservative. Post-COVID is a conservative number.
I'm sure it's gotten higher.
Yeah. And funny that you say that, because anytime I look at a girl and things of that nature that someone attracted, I already put 4 up there already. And it just takes away all the red tape.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to wonder, don't have to sit around and, well, am I in the top 5, you know? And does she have time for me? I automatically denote 4, you know? And also, the funny thing is, if you ever have this difficult conversation with some women, is that, you know, the notch count, you know?
Yeah.
The notch count. How many guys have you been with? If it's a pretty conservative number but still high, she likes you.
Yeah.
All right? If it's going in the 50s and 60s, buddy, you're in the friend zone. Period. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, so that doesn't surprise me. Like I said, right now with post-COVID, because remember going into the coronavirus and everybody was at home, oh, relationships are going to get that much better. They can't. Oh, man, and there's going to be a lot of post-COVID babies. The one that ended up happening, we see more breakups than we ever seen before.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of pregnancies, too.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Right, exactly. So that's not surprising that that you would know somebody of that nature sharing the same guy. So I'm sure he has it rough from time to time, but depends on what type of lifestyle and status he has. He can very well pretty much manage that until, like I said, these women, basically I need to ask, were these women in their 20s or 30s?
20s.
Yep, okay. 20s. Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yes, yes. And go on to a little bit what the other gentleman had said about getting with women. We don't want them basically riding a cock carousel. Yeah, as far as wife material is concerned, one thing that is a cold truth about female and male relationships, and we hear this see this all the time on Instagram and Facebook, you know, about the whole who cheats more, men or women, you know, that type of thing, you know.
Search that up. We gotta figure that out.
Right. Well, who cheats like more? Yeah. And I would go on to say a lot in this space that men and women, their cheating habits are different. And if you were to push come to shove, is that men show their cheating habits by providing financial stability for another woman. Because let's put it out there. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. For
all right. A man can still love his main girl and his wife and still fuck other girls.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard it be done, and I've had people tell me that it's been done too.
Yes. So, yeah. Right. I didn't tell you my other occupation before. I don't know your cousin Juanito told that, but I have a lot of pre-made conversations before I even started the podcast, because I was the exotic dancer. So,
oh, you were?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
How long were you doing that?
For about 7 years. So
any wild stories happen from
oh
that?
Oh my gosh. Where do we want to start? You got 7 hours?
tell me your most wildest one.
Well, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble if this gets out. But we'll start with the one of the wildest ones here. okay. Wow. Oh boy. Let me see which one that doesn't involve law enforcement. Okay. Okay. One of the wildest stories doing that situation was, all right, is that one night, okay, exotic dancing before the social media came out was very lucrative business.
Before OnlyFans.
Before OnlyFans and the internet. Yeah, yeah, there we go. Yeah. Right on the money. Very lucrative industry. And just to kind of stay on topic, I was with this girl in the car and things of that nature. So she said, "Hey, watch this." I said, "Watch what?" "Watch this. This guy, my husband is such a loser." "Why is that?" As soon as she opened up the phone and things like that, this guy was like, "You fucking whore, I know you're sucking this dick. You, God damn it, you come home right now," things of that nature. "Will you quit crying? Quit crying, George, okay? Will you quit crying? This doesn't make any sense." Hung up the phone and started laughing. Pulling strings like that, man.
Yeah.
Pulling strings like that.
Girls are sneaky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She took joy. She took joy out of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the story being made is, yeah, she was doing something. He was absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, without putting myself, out there like that. Yes. Yeah, so there's a lot of stories that begin with this. So, if you want to be happy and glad about relationships, I'm probably not the person to talk to, because girls' night outs always don't end well.
Yeah, they don't.
No, not at all. So I had a lot of those. Scenarios. I had a scenario where basically an Amish girl came in. Amish girl, straight up Amish, yeah. straight from Grable.
Dressed up and everything.
Dressed yeah. up and everything. And all of a sudden, it was like Superman. And I went into the bathroom, it was like night and day. Night and day. And then as soon as I was done with the show per se and things of that nature, she pulled me into the bathroom and tried to, you know.
Yeah.
I said, what's going on? Well, I'm supposed to be married tomorrow, but I wanted to hurry up and get this over with.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 90% of our patronage, please forgive me, the stripping gods, so I don't put the business out there, but 90% of our girls that come to our shows already have somebody.
Yeah.
So just put that out there. So there's many more stories like that. As I get more comfortable, there will be more coming out, I'm sure, but that gives you a scenario of, you know, what goes on definitely at these shows, per se, so.
Yeah, that sounds pretty wild.
Oh, yeah. So once you get to know me, if you're a person that's looking for a relationship and things like that, if you want to know the dirty truth, it's not so pretty. Not so pretty at all, yes. Absolutely. There's a lot of red pill truths that come out in the stripping industry, unfortunately.
Yeah, people don't like to hear the truth, but you got to hear it sometimes, just to humble yourself.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. And that is humbling if you're really looking for that. But we all know that before the humbling experience, you have the anger and rage, like, why didn't I learn this stuff sooner?
Yeah, some people, they rather not take someone's word for it. They would rather... Not that they want to go through the experience, right. But that kind of has to happen to them for them to have a wake-up call for themselves.
Right, right. And like I said, you know, me and you know that, but the newer generation that's coming up of men, you know, they're still a slave to their biological imperative, you know what I mean? They're still a slave to their mammalian brain that they won't get it yet, so it has to have some hard truths. We're just trying to make the journey a little bit easier, in a sense. And being in the exotic dancer industry, there were truths that are right up in my face.
I'm sure you learned a lot in
there. Oh my goodness, I learned a lot.
Cold-hearted truths.
I learned a lot through women engaging in truth serum called alcohol. Yes, yeah. A lot of stuff comes out.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that brings the truth out of a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, it brings the truth out of a lot of people. So,
I think I've heard before that, like, when someone's under the influence of alcohol, they're more likely to speak the truth than if they were sober. So,
absolutely. And, but more so in that particular industry because you have bachelorette parties, you have divorce parties, you have all these other things.
Divorce parties? People have those?
Oh, my goodness. Divorce parties.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Yes. And you better tighten up your belt, buddy. they zero in on you, you know what I mean, through divorce parties. So, you know, they have things of that nature. So, like I said before, there's a lot of red pill truth in that industry. I hope I didn't call anybody out and things of that nature, but if you're somebody that, you know, wants to engage in lofty relationships and, you know, skip down the yellow brick road, probably I'm not the best person to talk to. Yeah. Exactly.
You'll crush a lot of people's hearts.
Crush a lot of people's hearts, and probably my own in the process by rehashing some of those memories.
This is probably the first time, like, people watching this is probably the first time hearing about any of this, so I'm sure it's a wake-up call for quite a few people.
And absolutely, and it's not, you know, because it depends on, you know, who you talk to. Why did you have that guy on there? He seemed pretty misogynist. Does he hate women? Has he been hurt before? I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah,
you know, you're going to hear that from time to time, but it's not a shot at women. It's reaffirming our truths as men. You know, our truths are not so much being put out there because there's no forum for that. Because, you know, there's not many venues where we can actually speak our minds and things of that nature. Besides, like I said, being out an outcast per se. So
what is one of the main things that bothers you just like in life general that happens in just in life or like relationships?
I pretty much don't like the whole aspect of, to be quite frank with you, monkey branching.
What is that? I don't know what that is. What is that?
Yeah, monkey branching is to say if you get with a particular female and things of that nature, and you upgrade your life, whatever that may be, your passion to do something financially or what have you, and she didn't want you before she found somebody else, and then decides that whether she goes to the social media or she hears from other people that you're doing well, it's like, hey, how you doing?
Oh, so she wants to come back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hey, how you doing? I missed you. It seems like you're doing well. Give me a call when you want to, and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So that I hate that monkey branching type of aspect, because there's a term in this space called hypergamy, and that's a sense where women are always looking to upgrade regardless. You know, we all know that we can get with April and Shaquisha at McDonald's drive-thru. No problem. No problem whatsoever. We don't care how much money she makes. She looks good. Well, she's good with us. Women don't like to date down. We know that. Yeah, they like to date up.
Looking for upgrades all the time.
Looking for upgrades all the time. Yeah. And if you happen to upgrade, watch out for the monkey branching.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and a lot of us, you know, I've got caught by monkey branching from time to time. So that's one thing that really bothers me, you know, when you speak to somebody and say, yeah, well, I'm going to visit my old ex, and you're like, well, the toxic one that slashed your tires, man, what's going on here?
Yeah, you all right?
Well, she came over last night. I was, oh, man, she got you. Oh, boy. Well, you'll be back here again in about 3 months. So, yeah, that type of thing. So that's one of the main things as of right now that bother me. So there are others, but that's the one that stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You said that's called monkey branching?
Monkey branching, yes, yes.
I'll have to keep that one in my head.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, with social media, when you see somebody like one of us as men upgrade our lives and things of that nature, the girl that thought you, oh, you're such a loser, you don't have any ambition, why can't you be like Ernesto over there? He's got a nice job, he can provide for his family, why can't you?
His name's Ernesto.
You know, those kind of conversations. So, monkey branching is not really, it happens. I understand that. And we have to get with that reality. But that's something that is not talked about. Not many of us have passed that test.
Yeah. Talking about that kind of stuff. Yeah. Females are always looking for upgrades, which guys too, but in a certain way. But I don't think guys usually look at it like as the females, you know, like if they're making a bunch of money or this, that kind of stuff. Because, like back in my high school days, I would always look at for females, like I'd look at their looks. That's what I would pay attention to the most.
Absolutely.
But after a couple of relationships and over time, I realized that it's not about the looks. It's about their personality. Mm-hmm. It's about what they have going for themselves.
Right.
What they have planned for the future, that kind of stuff. You can be with a pretty girl, but her brains won't be there all the way.
Absolutely. And I agree with you to an extent, and I would sway just a little bit in a sense that women know that the only thing that works for them, the lowest common denominator, taking out what they, as far as raising children or what type of occupation they have, they know that the only trump card they have to play and play it hard is their beauty.
Yeah.
Why do you think the makeup industry is doing so well?
Yeah.
They know that's their only trump card. It's a plus, what you just said, right? It's a plus that they have intelligence, that they go on their grind and make, become an independent woman. All that's great. But that's not what's important to us. What is important to us without all its subcategories is being at peace when I come home.
Yes, yes.
In other words, you know, let me put it out there, you know, suck my dick and make me a sandwich afterwards. Okay. That's all. We don't ask for very much, you know what I mean? And our duties as men can't waver either, right? Because, you know, one of the things I learned in the stripping industry too, also, especially the divorce parties, I'll stick with that one per se. Well, you know, I get tired of sucking Bob's dick and things of that nature. I don't want that. Only anniversaries and birthdays. And I really don't even like doing that. You know, that type of thing.
They just get tired of the guy, or they just want to experience something new?
All the above. When you make a multiple choice like that, it's all the above.
Down
all
for whatever.
All the above. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm thinking to myself, because you have to be quiet, because this is information that I didn't previously know, so I let them talk to that. I'm like, yeah, but the guy has to keep up with his duties. So what if he came home one day and said, you know what, I don't feel like, you know, paying the phone bill today. I don't feel like paying an electric bill, you know, that type of thing. You know, by the way, I wanted to take 2 weeks off from working today. He can't say that.
Yeah.
But the only thing you're asking is that you please him and only he gets an anniversary and birthdays. I mean, how selfish is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's absolutely really. We don't ask for much.
Yeah.
That's the whole point when I try to, if I happen to talk to girls that are willing to listen, we don't ask for much.
Yeah, I like honesty,
yeah,
loyalty, and just basic respect.
Right.
That's the main thing for me, basic respect.
Right. And on the scale from 1 to 10, we call it the SMV, the sexual market value of women. Those 9s and 10s are rough, baby. They are rough. They are rough. Those girls are rough. Yeah, so.
Because most of them been through a lot of stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh my God, they're pretty rough. So
yeah, there's some pretty beautiful women that I know that they've been through a lot of like fucked up stuff in their life, but they, as of right now, like the years past, I can see that they have their head on straight. Yeah. They got things going for themselves.
Oh, good. That's fantastic. Yeah. And that's what we want. So we don't want it to be where, you know, we as men, we demand better, and women, you're just evil and had Adam eat the apple and things of that nature. And, we deserve better, and you guys are the devil's spawn.
Yeah,
no, we're not
all
here.
The way back.
we're not here to say that. We're just here to say, hey, we have, as men, we have our wants and needs and things like that. If you choose to have relationships with us, this is what we offer. And if you're a man and what they call high value, you either take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know, some men can't say that. They're stuck in situations where they can't get out. You know, it was that way. I think most of us felt that way at one time before. You know, it's like, what am I doing with my life? You know?
Rethinking everything.
Yeah, rethinking everything, you know, calibrating everything, you know. And then you happen to, like Ernesto said, come up on the information age, and it was a godsend, you know. It's like, where have I been? I should have got this stuff earlier. There was a better version of myself, you know, times 10. You're right, exactly. I'm glad you have me come on here because I don't know how this is going to be viewed.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about it too.
Yeah, cause
it could take off and it could just be
right. Because, like I said, there are some things that we talk privately because we have a conversation and discourse where we share a lot of ideas and things that we're thinking on our mind. But you know, a lot of the stuff doesn't get out into me, even if it's locally, so we can definitely on a local level to get this stuff out and at least start the conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, because
it'll open up a lot of minds for the people that do watch this. I believe
absolutely. And even though there's some hard cold truths, it could actually bring people together. Because how many people actually, you know, really talk to each other? Men and women talk to each other.
Yeah.
Women, you just have to have a pair of tits and ass, and guys and money, and then there's a combination right there.
Yeah, they don't like to really talk about the problems.
No,
just push them to tuck them under the blanket and
absolutely
come back whenever.
absolutely. And we're trying to, grab onto the horse's mantle there a little bit, you know, and try to steer in the right direction. So, yeah.
One thing I'm interested in is after listening to a couple of your podcasts, I hear you say non-selective and selective a lot. And like, I try to understand it, but I'd rather like a better definition of what selective and non-selective men are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great question. There's a space in the manosphere. I got this shout out from Ron Wills. He's a guy that coined this term, select and non-select. The select is the people we already talked about, right? The fuck boys, you know, the Pookie Ray Rays, the Chads from sales, and all those type of people.
The 20%.
Yes, the 20%, absolutely. And then the non-select is the people that fight it hard to find their purpose in life and just get in relationships just because. Those are the non-select. But when I first started this podcast, I wanted to talk more about the non-select, but that's something that's never talked about. Because as we know, that 80% is what keeps societies going. You know, restaurants, movies, mortgages, all those type of things. Those are the people that basically have no voice, but they're the glue that makes society work. You know what I mean? So they're not always up there in the board of directors with a suit and tie and giving orders. They're out there, you know, engineers, building buildings, construction, you know, they're the glue of society, but they basically don't have a voice. They just are. Yeah. And they have to be because that's what all they're viewed as. So that's basically the select and non-select and why I focused on the non-select. Beautiful question. Beautiful.
Yeah, that was a beautiful question. Yeah.
So what do you think about people getting into like long-term relationships and like the stability of that? Because we already know like the bad things about relationships and like the things that men and women do in right. relationships. But is it actually feasible to like get married and like have that kind of long-term relationship?
Great questions. I think it's it depends on the person because you know, there's two things that as men that especially in this day and age we can fall in the category of. I mean, unfortunately, this is not part of the sexual liberation movement that gave us our roles today. There's only two ways as men that you're going to be seen as, and that's three things actually. You're going to see the person that provides the dick, friends with benefits, strictly in the friend zone, or the person that provides value in getting into a relationship. These are the three things. And I don't care what anybody says. I've seen this at Ground Zero, even when I'm stripping. It takes a woman, when she first meets you at any level, 5 minutes to know if she's going to be in a relationship with you or not. That's all it takes, 5 minutes.
And yeah, they're pretty quick with it.
Yeah, pretty quick, even sometimes quicker, right? Yeah, so it depends on the person. But no, those three things can happen at any time. Do I think long-term relationships could be a healthy endeavor for most men? Yeah, if you know what to look for. If you're on your purpose. If you make you the center of your universe. Because you let's face it. A lot of the stuff that's put out here in society, when women say, oh, man, just have him open up his heart and his feelings and have you become number one. That sounds good. But I guarantee, buddy, I guarantee you as the day is long, once you start doing that, you're on your way out the door.
Yeah.
Because what do most women want? They want a person that leads. If you read their romance novels, they always want that guy that dominates, takes charge, you know, that type of thing. And with the divorce rate as high as there is, what's the number one thing that women often complain about? Well, my husband wasn't the guy that I, he was when I first met him.
I think a lot of people aren't even getting married anymore. They're divorce is pretty high right now.
Right. Absolutely. And so those are the three things that you can look at. But you have to know your purpose as an individual, especially as a man, if you want to get into a long-term relationship. Yeah, you know, just be on guard that that a woman wants you to lead at any cost, no matter how much she complains that you work too many hours. Why are you going to the gym? Is there somebody else involved in your life? That type of thing.
Yeah.
You have to be on your purpose because once you're not making yourself the center of the universe, that's when the relationship causes a problem. Now, they'll never tell you this. Women will never tell you this. In the deepest, darkest desires, they in a relationship, they always want to be in the men that they view that is better than them in some capacity.
Whether it's better than themselves?
Yes, as far as financially, social status, or what have you. If it's not, and she just settles and things of that nature, then once, you know, things go bad, then the monkey branch scenario comes back where she say, well, Pookie, Ray Ray, sorry, Ernesto, or people like that have time for about 15 minutes. So it just depends.
Yeah.
The friend zone, you never want to be in there. Absolutely. And unfortunately, it takes 5 minutes to know if you're going to be in the friend zone either.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a bad situation because what's worse than hanging on to a person, you know, that you're helping out and you're waiting one day hoping and praying that you get your shot. You know what I mean?
Playing the waiting game.
Yeah, playing the waiting game. Yeah. And I've been in a friend zone before, you know. Yeah, I don't pull any punches.
I have too. Yeah,
It's not a great feeling. It's not a great feeling at all. And you know, I have to look at myself in the mirror and like, you know what, Jihad, you put yourself in the friend zone.
Yeah. You put yourself in it, you can take yourself
right,
out.
Right, exactly. You put yourself in the friend zone. It's not on her. What would she do? What woman doesn't want to have the boyfriend experience that she doesn't have to put out in some capacity? Uh-huh. Now, she'll put out for Bad Bunny. You know, she'll put out for Drake. Yeah. She'll put out for Future.
No hesitation.
No hesitation. You know, no red tape, no stipulations or anything of that nature. You know what I mean? So that's a very bad situation to have. Now, a good situation to have for the short term, because they'll never tell you this either, is to be friends with benefits, right? What do we as guys, for the most part, thrive for? Trying to hit that thing without a commitment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Take care of it a couple of times and then just get out of the picture.
Right, exactly, exactly.
On to the next one.
On to the next, right? Yeah. Right. That's our version of women's version is getting the boyfriend experience without having to put out, you know, that type of thing. So those are the three modes that you want to be in. But as far as long-term relationship, you have to know what to look for. You have to vet who your partner is and things of that nature, and you have to be something. Now, that's harder doing than actually saying, because men, we always have to upgrade, and some of us still are upgrading even into our 60s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So not a lot of us can make $100,000 a year, because that's what, less than 5% of the population as we know, and things of that nature. So we have to be definitely on our purpose. But marriage, I wouldn't survive. I wouldn't want to. That's a tough one. Only the fact is because the women carry all the cards, and they can divorce you based upon what? Oh, I'm just tired of the relationship.
And take all your money and
the
house.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you say what? Just tired of a relationship. That's it. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, and for the most part.
I've had.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was in a relationship once, and the female told me that I'm glad that she was honest with me, because if not, then we would have just been together, just wasting each other's time.
But absolutely.
She told me, she said, I feel like we shouldn't be together anymore because I don't have enough experience in relationships. Right. So, I mean, it hurt me, but at the same time, I was glad she told me that, because that made me realize, okay, she's not ready for me. So if she wants to go experience a bunch of stuff, that's fine. Go ahead.
Right.
So that kind of, it made me realize a lot of stuff.
Right. And you're onto something, Tony, because when I first started to grab a hold of this particular red pill space, there's what you call the red pill rage. You're angry about it. You're like, God dang, how did that happen to me? You know, some of these women are absolutely crazy. You know, I'll never have her take advantage of me and that type of thing. But as I gotten older, a little bit more mature, I think every girl that I ever talked to that denied me and let me know up front first.
Yeah.
I think instead of stringing me along being in the friend zone, I like to thank those people even to this very day. You know what I mean? That told me no right away, didn't waste any more of my time.
Yeah, you know, it's better off when they tell you right away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Some guys, they won't take that, like, that honesty to the right point. It depends on how you look at it. Because if you look at it in a different perspective, then you're just gonna dwell on it and not be happy with yourself. But you need to get over that, because I just look at it as it is what it is. It didn't work. That's it. That's the end of the story. You just you have learning experience now, and you got to use that knowledge that you have from that situation.
Absolutely. And you know, we know some people that like you just said, excellent point. But you know, I still truly feel deep down in my side, we're better equipped to deal with rejection on that level. The quicker, the better, definitely, absolutely. But I can tell you on the flip side of things, women cannot handle rejection of any kind. None whatsoever, especially if they're hot. No rejection whatsoever. Yeah. You think accountability is bad, let them get rejected.
Yeah, that's bad.
You know, because you know how many girls are actually, no matter how they view that they like a guy, will actually approach that particular the guy based on, you know, and the whole aspect of rejection.
Yeah.
Because everything is, you know, especially in their 20s when life is on their, life is their oyster, is put on, you know, a pedestal in a sense. So, yeah, we can find people that, as far as men are concerned, that are thankful that the women rejecting them. Sometimes the people that are uneasy at that, but we can take it much better than most women who, you know, can't take any type of rejection because, you know, they, like I said,
they're too confident.
Yeah,
themselves.
too confident. And another thing, man, so one thing I didn't know in this space too, we talk about long-term relationships and things of that nature. You always have to be spontaneous. Yeah. Always. Because, you know, one thing that I mentioned before is like, hey, why did you get out of that relationship or marriage? Because I didn't feel that the passion anymore and things of nature. It seems like you always have to be spontaneous.
Bringing something new to the table.
Yes, absolutely. Make it spontaneous. If you're into that particular woman, then she's worth it.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the keys to having a long-term relationship with whoever you're interested in.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up, I was having a conversation with this lady, I think it was about a week ago.
Yeah.
And she was talking to me about her ex-boyfriend.
Right.
And she asked me, how do you know? I don't know if you know what love feels like, but she asked me, she said, how do you know if you're in love and out of love? Like, what's the difference? And right. I'm just like, well, I don't know. I can't really tell you.
Right.
Like some of my past relationships, like I don't love the females anymore.
Right.
But I still have love for them. Like if something were to happen for them, I'd care. But the love is not the same as how it used to be. Like very strong.
And that's a beautiful point. I'm you know, that makes a whole lot of sense. But I think men and women, you know, love differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
In a sense that love is conditional, if we want to be real about it. You know what I mean? You know, a woman wants to find out that the guy doesn't have any ambition or want to be something in life. You know, that's a condition of love. And for us, we don't want a woman that sits around and entertains other dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, on some level. That type of thing. So that's so unfortunately I get and I'm down with all the lofty aspects of romantic love and things like that, but unfortunately it does come with conditions. So with the whole aspect of long-term relationships and marriage and things like that, marriage is here in the West, man, it gets a bad connotation. You really have to be careful with that issue. Is that by us saying that, hey, marriage is not the right thing, we get screwed, we get taken to the cleaners, we lose 50% of our shit, is that going to stop people from getting married? No, of course not.
It's not always the case.
It's not always the case. So, I mean, but it is a bad deal for us, and we're the only ones as men, when we talk about things like that, can rewrite the narrative that, you know, if you decide, unfortunately, to have the state intervene in your affairs, it'll be something that's a little bit more comfortable than what it is that you have no-fault divorce where a person can say, especially 80% of women, just say, hey, I'm just tired of a relationship. You know, and no infidelity, no abuse of any kind that she's based upon that she's tired.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, for sickness and hell, I'm tired. I want to get out of a relationship. You know, that's horrible.
Yeah, if a female tells you that, you might as well just let that be, get out of that relationship and move on. Because usually if they're telling you that, they're telling the truth. So
you're
gonna have to restart with someone else, go try new things out.
But you know what? Some people I talk to, their names remain anonymous. They never see it coming.
Yeah.
They're out to Disneyland and they're on Facebook with the kids and a wife and things of that nature. And then they see their wife at the edge of the bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Honey, what's wrong? Oh, I can't do this anymore. Never saw it coming.
Yeah.
Never saw it coming. You know.
In for a surprise.
in for a surprise. Absolutely. Absolutely. So if a woman is thinking of that nature especially in that situation in the marriage, she's thought about it a long, 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 long time. So it's basically up to you. So I'm not a purveyor of saying that you shouldn't get in long-term relationships. It just has to be on conditions and hopefully on the terms that you set for yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
I was going to say, like, you come up with a lot of good, like, ideas and stuff that comes from the Red Pill community. So honestly, what would you say for, like, the new up-and-coming people? Because I feel like this podcast talks to a lot of people that, like, are under the age of, like, 25, 20 type stuff.
Yes.
So, what tips would you give to them?
Very, very, very good question. All very good questions today. And I mean, this is fantastic. But the best thing that I can give, it's better now than later. Of course, later in life is better than nothing, but if you're going to write your own story, and your own story is the most important story, it's good that you start now to reevaluate your life as a man.
That's true, because I was talking to someone also, yeah. And I was telling him I'm glad that I went through my hoe stages during high school, because now I'm not worried about that anymore.
Right,
and
right.
I got all that out, so yeah. I'm ready for it. Right. So, well, I'm not. I don't want a relationship right now, but if I were to, I know what I'm looking for.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic, and that's the certain. That's the most of the meat of the red pill, in a sense, because you know, as men, what we're told is we're vehicles of labor and things. And then they take care of the family, retire, and then what's after that? The grave. Yeah. But no one talks about the stuff in between, the silent part that we suffer and have no voice to get all that stuff out.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I saw one statistic, and you know, I have my statistics here with me, is that a lot of the gun violence that men are done with is them deleting themselves because they have no voice, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they've been told, well, okay, if you're a real man, because it can be taken the other way. If you're a real man, you wouldn't let anything bother you, you know. You don't let anybody cry, you know, in that sense. You know, she left you for a good reason, you know, those type of things. So men have no voice, no outlet, like the, you know, red pill or any other device to go and get those things out. So what's the best thing to delete themselves? I didn't know that statistic.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all.
Because a lot of guys mm-hmm. probably feel trapped. Like they don't have no one to talk to. And
absolutely,
talking about that, it's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of people. So they just feel like they don't have no one to go to.
Absolutely,
so they just ended, I guess.
And nothing's worse, because you know this space is for men to talk about certain things and sometimes uncomfortable truths.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Nothing's worse sometimes when I hear a guy that's talking to his friends or somebody he can fight in another man, and they get turned down and say, man, quit being a pussy, man up, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, we can get it, we don't find any home as far as crying to a woman, because I guarantee you, brother, no matter how many times people tell you in society, Dr. Phil and others said, if you just open up to your woman, that is a recipe for disaster in the long run.
It is. I shed a couple tears with one of my exes, and she made fun of me for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ever since then, I've never shed a tear.
No, it's best that you men are better equipped to deal with, I feel. I should make a, you know, t-shirt one of these days for I feel, I really believe that men are able to take care of their own issues and confide in another man. And what destroys more of the male psyche is coming to another man and telling him, man, you're a man. Man up. Quit being a pussy.
Yeah.
Because the data doesn't lie, if you're really looking for it, that you know, people are offing themselves. So the red pill is actually a counter argument to what feminism has to offer, right? And that is, girl, you know, go get your notches, you know, go ride the cock carousel. You know, you don't need a man. Why do you need a family for? You can do anything than a man does, you know?
Yeah.
So the red pill is a counter argument to what feminism has told women, that basically men are just providers and the what you call disposable sex. So I think the red pill is least, I won't say it's a solution, because you have so many avenues of red pillism, if I can use that word per se, but at least it starts the conversation.
Uh-huh.
And if we can stop one person or one guy from offing himself because he feels he doesn't need, worth living, then it's worked. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So that's basically, and the younger the better, because I truly know for a fact that women are always trying to find leaders, and there's a reaction. For example, if the red pill really becomes mainstream, women only follow our actions as men for the most part. So they'll be able to adapt too, because what we have is not working, because we all know, as we discussed here on this podcast, that women only choose the best top 20%, right?
Yeah.
Right? And that if necessary, the cock carousel is good to experiment with until you find out what you want, girl, in life when you're 30.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And if a man is not doing for you right now, then you can just swipe right to your phone and you'll find another one. And no matter how many times you have a gapping hole in between your legs or how many kids, he should accept all of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, so the red pill is definitely a counter argument to that, and then we'll have to come to some type of equilibrium, because what we have right now is definitely not working. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got to figure something else out.
Yes, oh, absolutely. And like I said, it starts the conversation. Hopefully, when people see this podcast, Tony, it could at least on the local level start the conversation. You know,
yeah, I hope it gets out and people take some kind mm-hmm. of knowledge from the, yes. this video, yes, this podcast.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So what I wanted to get is, this is not something, like I said before, I keep, I don't know. You do make good points, but it still sounds kind of misogynist a little bit, even when you say certain things of this nature. What are you trying to do? Marriage is such a great thing, long-term relationship. Yes, it is, under certain conditions. You guys have a laundry list of conditions.
Yeah.
We only have a certain few conditions that will be met, and then because we have to keep, to our conditions, and as providing protection, provision, and stuff of that nature, all you just have to do, and for the most part, is be, for the most part, yeah. It sounds messed up, but that's what it is.
Cold-hearted truth.
Yeah, cold-hearted truth, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely, 110%. So, yeah, so the sooner the better, and like I said, I started getting some red pill truths around 40, and then once the red pill rage started to kick in, it was like, why didn't I learn this earlier? So that if you can get to the younger, the better, you're light years ahead.
Yeah, definitely. People get judged for doing, mm-hmm. riding the cock carousel, earlier on, right. But in a way it's kind of good, because you get more of a learning experience to get mm-hmm. to know what you want for yourself.
Right.
And mm-hmm. yeah, your life.
And you bring up a good point. Yeah, a good point, because men, the more experience they have in women, you try to find out exactly what you want.
Uh-huh.
Because I think men are better adapt to deal with more sexual partners than women, because women are judged based on their purity as far as wifey material and things of that nature. You know what I mean? I mean, just like I mentioned, those three people we know in the world, Future, Drake, and Bad Bunny, no girl is going to say, well, girl, he's kind of a hoe. I don't really want to be with him, that type of, that didn't even come up.
Yeah.
Nothing to come up at all.
Just throwing themselves.
Yeah, just throwing themselves and that type of thing.
He can take care of me. What else could I want?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Exactly. If a woman thinks a guy is a higher value enough, they're willing to share, just like, people that are willing to share.
Yeah.
But for us, as far as, I'll hit that and things of that nature, man, but, I wouldn't wife her up, man. I don't want anybody knowing that, I got something that's a little loose there. You know, everybody's had her.
Yeah.
I don't want that for the long term. And you can't say that, because, you'll be considered, an outcast in a sense, But they know it too. They know their value is based on how many dudes they choose not to tell you that they screwed around with.
Yeah, definitely.
And I tell you, and I say that lightly. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because I don't know if you saw that YouTube video where this guy was asking those untold truths and things of that nature. He said, "Oh, come on, babe, just go ahead and tell me how many partners have you had? Are you sure you want to have this conversation?" Yeah, no problem. I promise you, I will not get upset. And then, okay, but you got to tell me first. Okay, yeah, I had about 5. That's it? How many did you have? 80. 80, are you kidding me? But you promised not to get mad. 80, oh my God, damn it.
It'll change your whole perspective.
Yeah, it'll change your whole perspective. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And for most women to get sex, it's just go outside. It's just like us picking up a heavy rock. That's the equivalent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, man, we better wrap this thing up.
Okay,
we got probably about an hour 30 minutes in.
Okay, that's
we went over a lot of good. We went over a lot of good information.
Right,
I feel like.
Yes.
So people are going to learn some stuff.
Yes,
you think
fantastic.
We got some good stuff, Ernesto?
I mean, personally, like, I'm in the Red Pill community as well. Yeah. I went a little bit into, like, MGTOW and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I've learned this stuff ever since I was 16, thanks to the information age. So,
right.
Honestly, I got dropped a lot of good information today. I think today was really productive.
Absolutely. I'm glad to hear that. And I'm glad for you guys having me and taking a chance on me to, you know, be on this podcast and taking a chance on me. So, you know, hope we can, you know, get the conversation going so we can have more venues like this. So yeah,
definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
I appreciate you coming
on,
man.
Thanks. I appreciate
you. You taught me a lot of stuff today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, I thank you for the shout out and giving me the opportunity. I appreciate that from you.
What was your podcast name again?
That's Boz, Lord of the Sith.
Okay. Yes. I'll throw it up there on the screen. Mm-hmm. When I edit it.
Absolutely.
Are you on YouTube at all or no? Is it just Spotify and Apple?
Yeah, just Spotify and Apple for right now. Okay. I haven't gotten into the big time with the YouTube and things of that nature. Yeah. I mean, there's several people here in town that we try. It's not that I haven't tried, but maybe this will be the kickstart,
Could take it off.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have any social medias or anybody you want to shout out to?
Yes, I definitely wanted to shout out to Juan Martinez, the barber. Always makes me look classy every Friday.
Yeah.
If there's no COVID issues, I'm always looking classy. Yeah. And I have Instagram, Shabazz70, so you'll check me out there too as well. So
okay, I'll throw it up on the screen.
Yes.
Yeah, shout out to Juan. He hooked me up with this guy, got some good information on
him. Yes, Juan Martinez. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
All right, man. Thank you for coming on. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.